This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
And welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This issue is all about something that is absolutely free. It has no known side effects, and experts say it can lift your spirits and lower your stress levels too. Would you be surprised to learn we're talking about the benefits of laughter? Healthcare is expensive, so let's practice this cost-effective way of feeling good. Our cover story this issue features a conversation between Civic Media's Pete Schwabe and comedian Rob Brackenridge. Amanda Nimmer finds laughter when some might find it inappropriate. And we have feature stories on comedy sports and Green Bay comedian Kristen Leidy. But we'll open this issue with a question. Did you know researchers say kids laugh more than 400 times a day? So can you guess the number of laughs in the typical day of an adult? And you may want to take a minute to ponder this, because even our new Wisco team thought it was a higher number than research shows. Okay, as you know, we mentioned it earlier, kids laugh around 400 times a day. Adults, only about 15 to 20 times a day. No wonder we as adults aren't feeling well. Here's our lead correspondent, Terry Barr, who found a Northeast Wisconsin laughter expert to explain why humor is a huge health benefit.
We often hear that laughter is the best medicine. And I want to know all about getting a prescription for some laughter. So I'm talking with mental health counselor Charles Latour. And Charles is with Bellin Health Psychiatric Center. Charles, thank you so much for joining me today.
And I couldn't have picked a better topic.
When you hear somebody say, laughter really is the best medicine, what does that mean to you?
That's a great question. Other than exercise, I really don't think there's anything that we know of that is better for us medically. Whether it's exercise or whether it's laughter, I don't think there's anything better you can do for yourself. But I do want to say something about why I think laughter is great. Laughter happens more in social situations than it does individually. It facilitates the socialization and relationship process, which is an additional, if we're talking exercise, laughter, healthy, positive relationships, are also part of our great health, right?
Yeah.
Humor part is absolutely monumental. I do want to say another thing about the health benefit. It activates greater airflow. The difference in how we engage with our respiratory system improves when we're laughing. It also increases a chemical reaction, which lowers our stress level. To the point, even your opening line I love, which is laughter is the best medicine. I look at it as not just like in prescription dose, but an overarching lifestyle dose, that when we can make it our lifestyle, not just that every now and then prescription, we tend to be even healthier.
This weekend is also National Belly Laugh Day. And when you have that big laugh with a group of friends or family and your tummy hurts in such a good way, I guess that's when you know you're getting the recommended daily allowance of laughter.
If you really take it to its extreme of the daily recommended dose, stomach hurt. I remember a friend of mine telling me a story. I'm like, don't say another word. I can't take it.
What do you do, Charles, when you have to talk with someone and they say, I am just so depressed, I'm stressed? How do you get them over that hump to find some laughter and joy again?
There's a great saying that I really like, which is, when you change the way you see things, the things you see change. So oftentimes it's kind of in our look, and sometimes just challenging enough to be able to even slightly look at things maybe a little bit differently than you are seeing them can just be the opening to maybe more humor in someone's life.
Mental health counselor Charles Latour with Bellin Health Psychiatric Center. Thank you so much. You've made me smile with some of these thoughts, and I wish you lots of belly laughs this weekend.
I have a really good joke for you before we wrap up.
Good.
Hopefully someone will take you up on some of that belly laugh. And even if the very least, watch a good comedy this weekend. Thank you so much.
But wait now, where's your joke?
I was only kidding.
It's awesome, though. You got us to laugh. Thank you.
Thank you.
If this provided a few laughs for you, you can find more of Terry's interview on our websites, wgbw.fm or wiss.fm. Can comedy also be a sport? Conrad Krieger has that story.
Competition and improv comedy are not always related when talking about, but what happens when you combine them? Let's talk about comedy sports, an improv show with a sports twist. I talk with Mike Kauth, head coach for comedy sports in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Comedy sports is head-to-head competitive improvisation. So what it is it's two teams, a red team, our Sparklers, and our blue team, the Dendrites. They compete in different improvisational games for points and laughs. So we have a referee, AstroTurf field. Everything is made up on the spot based off of suggestions that the audience yells out. And then the teams will play a game, and then the audience decides who they thought was funnier, who entertained them more. So it's competitive improv.
So how do the practices work before the shows?
Yeah, Monday nights, all the professional players, we have a practice, we get together, and really we just play around. You know, if there's a new game someone came up with, we do a lot of just kind of basic scene building skills where we'll get together and building chemistry with the people that you're with. Because the better you know people, the easier it is to perform with them, the more fun it is to perform with them. We're just kind of goofing around, getting to know each other. So because it's improv, so every show is going to be different. You never know what the audience is going to yell out. For that, you can't really rehearse for it. You just can kind of, have some fun practicing.
Is it based on any sport you can think of, or is it a different sport every show?
Yeah, it's kind of a different sport every show. You know, the thing with comedy sports is it's become its own sport. It's kind of a clash of minds. There's elements of physicality to it. There's a lot of different quick thinking, quick movements, and just it's always based off of what our loyal fans give us, you know? So it's always going to be something a little bit different. It's something unique and different every time you come and see it. It's rare that you're going to be like, oh yeah, I saw that before. Because even if you've seen a game before, the stuff that happens in it is going to be completely different.
So how would you say the sports aspect is used?
Sports aspect of it kind of stems from that competitive element. Like a lot of it is set up for our loyal fans that are watching. They kind of get that element of the competition. We kind of we play to win, but we don't care if we lose. That's sort of the attitude we have. Because ultimately, we're all friends having fun, but putting those different games up against one another really gets the audience involved in what we're doing. Some of the sports elements that we really like to have kind of help keep everything focused, because comedy sports is an all ages show. So some of the rules that we have, the fouls that we have, are something like a out of bounds foul. So if somebody says something rude, crude, off color, right now, one of our favorite out of bounds fouls is our bag foul. So if they say something, they put the little frown bag over their head as a little punishment. Nothing too severe, of course.
Yeah.
But we always want to make sure that everyone can be entertained. So we always say family show. So we want to make sure nobody's offended.
Why should someone, if they're thinking about coming out, why should they go to one of these shows?
I think if you're looking for a good time to have, if you like laughing, come on down. If you need a little pick-me-up or just a great exclamation point to your weekend, check out a comedy sports match. They're always different. They're always fun. You know, I'm lucky enough where I get to be on the field. There's no other place that I'd rather be.
That was Mike Kauth, head coach for Comedy Sports Milwaukee. For New Wisco Weekend Sports, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
While I would never consider this movie to be a comedy, it is a classic, and I'm so glad that Pete Schwabe is sharing it with us today. Here is Pete's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabe's classic movie pick of the week.
Every so often, I pick a movie that people might not have seen, but that I think they would really enjoy. Or I pick a film like this week's, which is an absolute bona fide, indisputable classic like Hoosiers. One of the best underdog stories ever to make it to the big screen, Hoosiers hit theaters in 1986, and in case you haven't heard, is the story of a small-town Indiana basketball team that advances all the way to the state championship against a much bigger school from Indianapolis, after learning how to play together as a team. The film stars Gene Hackman as Coach Norman Dale and Barbara Hershey as local girl Myra Fleener. Coach Dale immediately rubs the locals the wrong way with his tough guy tactics. It takes a commitment from a reclusive star player at a town meeting to convince the team to keep Coach Dale.
What can I do for you?
I got something to say.
There's nothing better. Say what you gotta say.
I don't know if it'll make any change, but I figure it's time for me to start playing ball. I play, Coach stays, he goes, I go.
The story also takes a dramatic turn when Myra learns more about Coach Dale's personal life and that he was let go from a previous coaching job after hitting a player. Adding more drama to the narrative is Dennis Hopper's character. Hopper plays Shooter, a basketball savant who can't control his drinking. But that doesn't stop Coach Dale from giving him another chance, just like he received. Hoosiers was written by Angelo Pizzo and directed by David Anspaugh. Pizzo and Anspaugh are not strangers to underdog stories, as they also teamed up in 1993 to make Rudy. As fun as it is to watch this film and cheer the action on or off the court, Hoosiers would not be as spine-tingling without an absolutely amazing soundtrack from composer Jerry Goldsmith. It is right up there among the best sports movie soundtracks with Rocky and Remember the Titans. So avoid the cold, fire up some popcorn, and check out Hoosiers in the comfort of your own living room. Hoosiers is this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
I love to laugh loud and long and clear. I love to laugh. It's getting worse every year. The more I laugh, the more I feel.
When we come back, Amanda Nimmer's commentary. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend, a product of Civic Media radio stations WGBW and WISS. Did you know laughing can burn calories? University of Kentucky research shows laughing 10 minutes every day burns the same number of calories as a half-hour workout. Now that's the type of exercise I can get behind. Here's commentator Amanda Nimmer.
Hey, here's a secret. Did you know that the best place to laugh is at a funeral? Was it something I said? You know what? Hear me out. If you really think about it, yes, we are sad that whoever has passed is gone. And that hurt, by the way, isn't just a one-day affair. That's an everyday thing until the end of time. Which means you have exactly that long to be sad periodically here and there. But what you're missing is a key opportunity to put the fun back in funeral. Huh? Seriously. Crickets. It's like I'm talking to the dead here. The opportunity is right there. You are in a room with distant relatives, friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, exes, whoever has come, whoever it may be that has decided that taking time out of their busy schedules for a moment to see off this person was a matter of importance, which means they have valuable information. Yes, they are chock full of funny, hilarious, possibly embarrassing stories that you need to know about and the universe needs to hear about. We need to get them out in the open. How many embarrassing stories can you tell now? All of them. Any of them. But Amanda, I was sworn to secrecy. Yeah, but for how long though? I mean, wedding vows are till death do you part. And unless stated otherwise, there is no reason why once they are no longer on this plane of existence, you can't start opening the kettle and spilling all that tea. Come on. And make people laugh. Because I know for a fact, I would love to hear stories about how they had a one-night stand in Vegas, which somehow resulted into getting locked out of the guy's room without any of their clothes and being forced to run around naked trying to find where the heck their hotel room is in this massive hotel. I need to know those stories. That is the time to bring them out now. Funerals aren't supposed to be sad. They're supposed to be full of joy and celebrating the life that is them. Hence the term celebration of life. And nothing says a life well-lived more than a room full of people laughing, potentially at their expense, but also because of the life they lived, the impact they had. They brought more laughter into the world than tears of sadness. And honestly, the word celebration doesn't mean sadness. So yes, a funeral, best place to have a laugh. Best place to spill all those secrets and fun, hilarious, embarrassing stories about the only person who really can't object. I mean, what's the worst they're gonna do? Haunt you? Okay, that one is actually a real possibility. However, consider the fact you'll see them again as a positive, even if it's only in your dreams. I call that a win-win situation. Grief comes and goes in all different forms, and it can last a lifetime. So don't waste an opportunity to have fun with your loved one last time. So be mad at me all you want, Grandma, but I'm definitely telling the rest of your grandkids exactly how you ruined a man for life by, you know what? Actually, that is not safe for radio. Well, moving on from New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Thank you, Amanda. With all this talk about laughter, you may be worried that you have an underdeveloped sense of humor. Health experts at the Mayo Clinic say aim for a laugh a day. Find something funny, a photo, a cartoon, whatever resonates with you, and hang it where you can see it. Then smile and laugh at it, even if it feels forced. You may find it's just what the doctor ordered.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
I've been a union organizer for 15 years. In 2018, I decided to move home to Green Bay, Wisconsin to get sober and build union power. Yeah, which is a sentence no one has ever said before. I appreciate the love on that. When I first moved home, that was not the vibe. It was more like, go home, you socialist!
I am home.
Green Bay's Kristen Lighty jokes that her day job as a union organizer doesn't inspire spontaneous eruptions of joy, but she found a release in the form of comedy.
For the past 15 years, I've been a union organizer, and no one calls us because they're having a good day. It was kind of like figuring out, okay, how can I build joy and do this in a way that fulfills me and also, you know, make people happy? And then I was living in Chicago, and I went to an open mic and thought, well, I can do that.
Lighty performs her stand-up comedy routines 3 weekends a month throughout the Midwest. She's performed in Los Angeles, Atlanta, and throughout the country. While she might be the life of the party now, she was never considered to be the class clown in school.
It was very quiet and honestly skipped school a lot.
A graduate of the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay and Preble High School, Lighty discovered her love for performing after she moved to Chicago. She began hitting open mic nights with fellow comedians to hone her craft.
And you know, like in those rooms where it is just dead silent and everyone is judging you with daggers in their eyes. Like if you can make them laugh, like, you did it.
She says it didn't take her long at all to know that this is what she wanted to be doing with her time and talents. Her fate was sealed the very first time she took to the open mic stage.
I got huge laughs in a way that just like filled my soul and made me 100% addicted.
Lighty's comedy might be given a not safe for work or NSFW tag as not being corporate clean, but she says that doesn't limit her audience.
I would say I'm more niche, you know, I'm kind of a weirdo. I like to talk about Catholic school and getting sober and sometimes politics, you know, kind of all over, just like daily life experiences here in the Midwest.
Yeah, so sober dating. Wow, that's a new level of hell. Yeah, I joined soberandsingle.com up in Green Bay and it was just me. Took myself up to Olive Garden. It was a nice time.
Lighty may have found laughs her first time behind the mic, but she says her journey in comedy has not been all glitter and pomp. There were a few obstacles that had to be overcome, including some sexism.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows that are all male lineups. It's harder as a woman, definitely. Like, you have to be on 100% of the time. You can never fail because then it's like, oh, all women aren't funny because she wasn't funny that one Tuesday night we saw her. You know, so there's a lot more judgment.
Lighty moved back to the Green Bay area where she would like to see more venues for comedy.
That's kind of what was exciting about moving home to Green Bay. Like, I was leaving a huge art scene in Chicago, obviously, but I really wanted to build something here and something unique. And I'm excited to be back home and doing that.
Where can you hear Kristen Lighty? Well, in November 2023, Lighty was at the Altercation Comedy Fest in Austin, Texas. She recorded her first comedy album there. It's called Disassociation Vacation and is available through multiple streaming platforms and on vinyl.
Oh, man, there's no Heathers in my family, no Britneys, Tiffanys, nothing like that. I come from a long line of sturdy Midwestern women. Yeah. In my family, we have Agnes, Bernice, Martha. You break into Martha's house, you're not coming out.
Lighty also hosts a podcast called Bloody Mary, in which she and other comedians, professors, and musicians discuss their all-time favorite horror movies. This is New Wisco Weekend. Coming up, our cover story featuring Civic Media's Nightlight host Pete Schwabba and Appleton comedian Rob Brackenridge.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This is New Wisco Weekend for WISS and WGBW. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story. And since laughter is our theme this week, we thought we'd go to Pete Schwabba. Now, Pete hosts Nightlight on all of our Civic Media radio stations, and he loves to talk with comedians. Here's a part of his conversation with Rob Brackenridge, who's a comedian out of Appleton.
Rob Brackenridge, who is fast becoming one of my favorite guests. It's great to have you here.
It's great
in the studio,
back.
Buddy. He is an Appleton-based comedian who obviously travels all over. We first met in L.A. Is that too quiet?
Yeah, it was.
And then I don't know if we lost touch because we were never like tight or anything,
right.
But I'm so glad I got to know you more since I moved back here and you moved back here.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. And you're a legend, you know, you've always been a legend in the comedy world. So.
Right. Okay.
It was obvious our paths were going to cross eventually, right?
Absolutely, especially being in Northeast Wisconsin. Yep. And you just told me that Jimmy Pardo, who's been on the show, and Lance Barber, who's been on the show, did a podcast together.
Yes.
Rudely, without inviting me. No, I'm kidding.
I know.
They were on the show, and they were on the show, and they did this great podcast, so that was fun.
And Never Not Funny podcast was talking all about you throughout the whole thing there.
Oh, my goodness.
Singing your praises.
That's very nice. All right, so catch us up. What's going on? How you been?
Good. You know, I'm doing all the comedy stuff.
Yeah.
This is how I do it. Which is, a lot of people don't get it.
Some people think that means give me a side of fries. They don't know what's going on.
Or you're doing some mentalist stuff, pulling back out my old Kreskin stuff now, you know, since he's gone.
I like the mustache.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so I have a question here for you. I was going through your website, and I love reading all your stuff, but you have so many, you have looks from over the years.
Yeah.
So many different looks.
You got
mustache, crazy feathered hair, serious, mugging. Was that for acting or just your comedy headshots over the years?
I guess I never see my face, but I'm known as a very muggy kind of guy, you know?
Yeah. You are. And some of the great other comics that do that are Brian Regan, Jim Carrey. I mean, sometimes, does it take more energy to do your act when you have to be so animated? Do you sometimes wish you could just go up there and barrel through the jokes and get the hell out of there?
I don't think I've ever done it any other way. Really? I think when I started out doing it, it was like in open mics and stuff, and I had to kind of accent what I was saying.
Yeah.
And I do, and I have like really big eyes and big teeth and everything, so it kind of... You know, I can go... Like, and with this mustache, I can go from Charlie Chaplin to Groucho Marx. Charlie Chaplin, Groucho Marx.
You just did a thing that reminded me of the guy in the boat who was in the dinghy in Caddyshack and sees the big ocean liner coming right at him and he looks up.
But I think the one clip, the one reel that I had on that went, you know, millions of views on TikTok, I had the mustache and I wore a suit coat. So I decided to start doing that now just to see if... Maybe I should stick with one look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. And how did that go?
Well, I've just started it. I shaved off my beard a couple of weeks ago, and I'm only going to wear like a black t-shirt and a suit coat and have the porn stash, I call it. It really looks like I should be delivering a pizza.
You know what would go great with a mustache?
What?
A tube top. Oh. Just think about it, Rob. I'm just saying. You don't want to keep people guessing.
I got to lose a little weight first.
Well, don't
worry. I'd have to figure out which roll had the nipple, you know, to put it on. When I get to the chins, I know I've missed it.
Did you just do a gig at Skyline Comedy Cafe in Appleton with Mike Merrifield?
Yes.
And another Wisconsin comic, too. It was like three of you guys.
Jack Haisley, yep.
Okay, so how did that go? How was that week?
Excellent.
Yeah?
Well, the first night, it was that cold snap that we had.
Oh, right.
30 degrees below zero or something. And no one really showed up. It was like eight people, but they were great. Yeah. If you come out to comedy and 30 degrees below zero, you're going to laugh.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to sit there. And then the next night, it was completely packed. And they were great, too.
Okay.
And then Saturday, I had to do like a corporate gig in Elkhart Lake at the Osthoff Resort.
Oh,
and there was like 800 people and all talking. It was it was a big, you know, one night I'm being carried off on the shoulders, you know, and the next night I'm like, today, I consider myself the luckiest man. It was so echoey in there.
They're looking up at you going, could you keep it down? We're trying to have a conversation.
Yeah, you're like, they really. And they were trying to heckle me, but I couldn't hear them. So I'm like, I know you're trying to heckle me, but I can't hear you even more than you can't hear me.
Those Christmas gigs, if I remember correctly anyway, pay pretty well, though, don't they?
Yes, they do pay well.
800 people.
And it's like cruise ships. There are people that are not there to see comedy, but it pays really well.
Right.
And then when you go to a place where they are there to see comedy, it doesn't pay that well, but they're funner. They're fun gigs, you know?
Did you ever work a club where the owner said, like it was a summer gig, and the owner said, well, it's summer money?
Yeah.
Do they still do that?
Yes. If they're even open in the summer, because that's death for comedians, as you know.
I remember my buddy Steve Seeger, and I don't know if you know
Steve.
Yes,
I know it. Scotch, is there anything you can't do?
Someone told him they were going to pay him summer money. He goes, oh, great, I'll do my summer act.
I love that.
You were telling a story during the break that I would love it if you would repeat it about the comedian Brian Regan. We are both huge fans of. Please tell that.
Oh, he's always been my favorite. Whenever anyone asks me who my favorite comedian is, other than Pete Schwab, I always say.
It's very sweet of you.
I always say Brian because he's amazing. The amount of stuff he comes up with, it's amazing. But he was working the Skyline Comedy Club during the pandemic, and it was almost one of the only clubs open. So we got the huge Brian Regan, who would normally play at the PAC. He's now at the club. And I wanted to sneak in surreptitiously and just watch his act and then sneak out. And so I get into the elevator, and I don't know if you've been to the Skyline, but
yeah,
it's got, you have to 90s, get,
yeah.
You have to get in an elevator to go up there. And so I'm waiting for the elevator, and then it opens, and who's in there? Brian Regan was in.
Wow.
And I was just like fanboying it out. And I'm, oh, thank you, Brian, for coming out here. I'm a big fan. And I really, and while the elevator's going up, I just talked the whole time.
He starts pressing other floors.
Yeah. But then the thing opens up and he's like, okay. You know, and he walks away and I'm like, stupid. And I watched the whole show. And then he's coming off after the show. He comes off and he comes right up to me and he goes, do you like cigars? And I went, yes, I do. And he goes, well, I'll sell you one. He goes, you got $50? And so we went out, and my friend Johnny Beaner was there too. And we went out. He had his bus right in the parking lot. That's where he stayed in his big luxury.
He's like John Madden of comedy. That's
it's a
so
luxury
cool.
hotel. He took us on a tour through the bus. And we sat there till 3 a.m, drinking and then just talking and laughing. And it was the best.
Was there any inappropriate activity?
Well, there was a little bit. I don't know if I can mention it. It's illegal. It's illegal in Wisconsin.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay. Well, I think I know what you're referring to.
Yeah. Of course. And I had a little bit, and he said, well, what's that? And I said, well, that's, you know. And he said, oh, well, maybe I'll try some. And I went, oh. So I filled him a little one, you know, and he took it. And about 5 minutes later, he goes, I got to go to bed, you guys.
Because he killed the party.
Yes, I did kill
the
party.
But wait, had he never tried it before?
He had tried it. He just gets paranoid on it. Some people get paranoid on it. Some, and it depends, you know.
Right.
There's so many different kinds that some make you relax, some make you sleepy, some makes you think everyone in backy is a cop.
That's so cool. So you, Brian Regan, and Johnny Bean are all hanging out. Yeah, that's a fun.
And it was the coolest hang I think I've ever done.
Wow. And that's like, I love that you still get, like, you're Rob effing Brackenridge.
Yeah, I know.
You got a name. Hey. You've been around a few years, and you still geek out when you see someone who you looked up to.
Oh, yeah, but I'm nobody compared to him. I play little one-nighters and stuff, and no one really knows who I am. Up until the TikTok thing, now people come out and they go, oh, we've seen all your TikToks and stuff.
Oh, that's amazing.
But before that, they're just like, oh, you were really funny. How come I've never heard of you? Or sometimes people come up and go, you should do this for a living. You're good enough to do this for a living. And I've done it for 35 years, and I'm just like, thank you. I will try.
Move along.
Yeah.
Can Brian Regan grow a mustache like the one you're rocking tonight? I doubt it.
Sweet.
Doubt it.
The old mustache.
What do you have other clubs, Rob, that are your favorites to work first in Wisconsin and then nationwide? Where do you like to go?
Well, obviously the Skyline, you know, I go there and
is that like your home club, would you say? Okay.
Yep. And I started there in 96. I was working there, and the guy that owned it, I was actually emceeing for Mitch Hedberg the week before. I was headlining at the Skyline.
Wow.
And the owners called me up. They go, hey, we just saw your name in the paper. You're in Green Bay opening for Mitch Hedberg. And I said, yeah. And they go, well, you're headlining for us the next week. And I go, yeah. It's Green. Those are two different cities.
Right.
And he goes, well, I don't know if I don't know if we're going to keep you. And I'm like, okay, let me know within the next hour because I got to rebook the week, you know. And I hung up on him, and I didn't think. And then he calls me up like 5 minutes later. Okay, but just don't do it again. You remember that? How people are like.
My guest is Rob Brackenridge. You can check him out at all your stuff is at youtube.com.
Yeah.
/@RBRack994.
Brack, yeah.
Brack. Rob Brackenridge. Brack. So it's at RBRack994. Just Google Rob Brackenridge. It'll take you right to YouTube.
And then my website has my Rob Brackenridge.
All right. So we have a clip. Let's hear some of Rob's comedy right now, Conrad. You got something, but not too long. I'm just kidding.
I don't want to sit through it.
This will be awkward for you, but
I
got to
do that every night.
But the dead giveaway here from Wisconsin is if you suffer from what I call the Erno factor. Right? They're like, you guys coming with or no? You guys have supper or no? And stay away from the Wisconsin Shakespeare Festival. That's just embarrassing. They're like, to me or no?
That's so great.
That's the one that got millions of views.
Yeah, it's a great joke. And is it one of those jokes where you go, how did I not think of this? Like,
well, I did think of it a long time ago. That was one of the, when I started doing Wisconsin stuff, I realized I was saying Erno when I first moved to LA. I'm like, hey, you bringing that with Erno? And then they go, did you just say, are you bringing that with Erno? And I said, yes, that's what I said. And so then I realized that I have an accent and I say weird words. And so I latched onto the Erno thing. And then now I see it everywhere. So I've actually made a little, you know, a little mark on our semantics. Yeah.
So what did you do when people called you on the accent? Did you embrace it or did you because I feel like when I first moved to LA, people would do that too. Oh, you're from, sometimes they'd say Chicago, sometimes they'd say Wisconsin. I think the Midwest just has kind of a general accent and then it goes into more specifics based on region. But I think I tried to like get rid of it. I thought it would hurt me.
I tried to too.
Yeah. But then at some point you're like, and my buddy Mike Siegel said this, he goes, all we have is who we are. That's what sets us apart. Yep. So, you know, you might not get a lead role because you sound like this, but you might get a role where they want a guy like, you know.
So you gotta dance with the girl that brung you.
Yeah.
And that's, and so after a while I stopped trying to, cause I would call up and go, hi, this is Rob Brackenridge. And they go, oh, Rab Brackenridge? I go, no, R-O-B. And they go, oh, Rob, your name is Rob. And I'm like, my name's Rob.
Sure.
So now I have to say Rob, you know, it's like in Canada, they always have to say, you know,
yeah.
I say, my name is Rob. And they go, is that short for rabbi? The Canadian accent. If like Pink Floyd was from there, they'd be like, you house proud town mouse.
Wow. That's funny. My sister-in-law introduced her to a friend of mine once who spent his whole life, grew up in LA, and her name is Ann, and she has like a Chicago thing. And she said her name to him, and he goes, what's her name? Ian? Because she said, I'm Ian.
Ian.
And he thought she was saying Eon or Ann. I'm like, I go, no, who would have their name be that? You know, and he's like, I thought that's what she said.
Yeah, we turn some syllables that are supposed to be short, Eon should be Ann.
Yeah, right.
And like Australian people, when they say no, they go, no, I'm no. What are you saying? I'm saying no. No. It's N-O, no.
Oh, that's funny. I was at a drive-thru with my daughter recently, and the woman said, thanks. And my daughter kept imitating her all the way home because she said, thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks. It's like, yeah, that doesn't even sound like thanks. I'm used to it. But if you're from somewhere else, you go, what the hell? It's like when that Making of a Murderer came out on Manitowoc, I had friends that lived in other parts of the country that had to turn on the subtitles.
Yes.
Even though it's like American English.
Yeah, really, like bag, the word bag, B-A-G. We say big. Where's the big? Where's my big? I left it by the Piggly Wiggly. I don't know where my big is. And the first time I went to Los Angeles, I go, you know where my big is? And they're like, big? It's pronounced bag. And I'm like, well, I beg to differ. So I showed that guy.
Did you know some animals laugh too? It might not sound like human laughter, and it certainly isn't as loud, but primates, rats, parrots, dagoes, and even dolphins do laugh to express humor, joy, or ticklishness. Coming up, our special music guest of the week, Isaiah and the New People. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Now, our musical guest this week is a Western psychedelic folk group. They're Isaiah and the New People. They recently appeared on Mino and the Mayor, which airs weekdays from 6 a.m. till 9 a.m. here on WISS and WGBW.
Our guests today, Isaiah and the New People. Dennis?
Gentlemen, good to see you today.
We know that there's somebody in your background that said, no, really, you can do this. So we always want to start out with that question. Who helped get you here?
Honestly, I would say Michael Flatley from
Riverdance.
Riverdance.
That was the inspiration originally as a kid.
Michael Flatley. So what was it? What was it? Was it the
Irish music?
Yeah, it was just like, there was just so theatrical and they would just build, you know, and like you'd start, and then all of a sudden there's all these other people coming in and running around. And like, as a kid, I was like, I just really enjoyed watching that.
If you could introduce these fine fellas.
Well, we got Rick Spatula Armstrong. He's on drums. Then we have Starfish. He plays lead guitar. And we have Duffy. He plays bass guitar.
Well, tell us the type of music you play.
We call it Western psychedelic folk. Yeah, we play pretty much original music. I guess you could say it's kind of indie rock, if in a sense. But yeah, it's kind of like that.
And how do you get your inspiration to do the writing? You guys work together on that, or somebody come in an individual piece and say, "Look, you guys, I got it."
Some of both, but Isaiah is by far the main songwriter here.
Yeah, I wrote a bunch of songs. Cause I was playing solo for a while, and now like this group just kind of formed, and so now we're just like workshopping all the songs and adding little things and making them a little more dynamic and.
That's wow. Really? What's the tattoo on your wrist?
It's an owl.
I saw that on the website too.
I have a lot of influence, or just like, I'm just really love the Native American spirituality. It's kind of something that's transformed my life. A couple years ago, that last song that we wrote, Lahaina, that chord progression actually we started is from Don't Fear the Reaper, one of the last songs we played together. And then that day I was in a car accident. That kid died.
Oh my God.
And then in Native American spirituality, for a lot of people, not even that, but just like it kind of teaches like there's certain animals that show up in your life, and the owl represents like death, but it also represents rebirth. And so the owl to me is just kind of like any day I can, any moment I can choose to be reborn and be a completely new person and everything.
And that's a logo for your group then too, isn't it?
Yep. Well, we definitely have more of a rock side to us too. Which, you know, this is kind of fits the studio and...
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend. I hope we've given you something to laugh about today. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Conrad Krieger, Pete Schwabba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by John Mino and Dennis Peters. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email it anytime. My email address is lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Have fun laughing and be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.